You are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, which originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to stay with us, trusting that our broadcast service today will be blessed of the Lord and thus a blessing to you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of presenting this broadcast to this precious people today, and we are trusting and praying that the precious Holy Spirit will accompany it and will use it for the good of eternity-bound souls. We know that Jesus came into this world and gave his life so that we could have pardon, so that we could have life. And we know that Jesus tasted death for every man. So you see everyone in our congregation today, and we're praying that the precious Holy Spirit will take us and take our broadcast and make it a blessing to souls, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You have nothing as valuable as your eternity-bound soul. And Jesus died on that cross so that you need not be lost, but that you could have eternal life. Thank God for such love.
If the wealth of this world you control, holding the riches of silver and gold, what would it profit when you leave it all? What will you answer at death's final call? What would it profit? Oh, what would you gain living for pleasure or luxury or profit if this world you choose? If at the judgment your soul you should lose, if you should work for some great earthly cause and you should somehow win this world's applause, what would it profit when you leave it all? What will you answer at this final call? Profit. Oh, what would you gain living for pleasure or luxury or fame? What is the profit if this world you choose? If at the judgment your soul you should lose.
Our subject for today's broadcast: do not be conformed to this world. And our text of scripture is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, our subject: do not be conformed to this world. We find in this text of Scripture not a suggestion, but a command. Yes, it is a command. Do not be conformed to this world. What does the word conformed mean to you? How does it relate to your daily living? We need to be familiar with the concept of conformity, for it plays a very important role in our daily lives, whether we be young or whether we be old. The definition of conformity, or conform, the desire to be like someone else, to do what they do, say what they say, wear what they wear, to accept the ideas, the fashions, way of walking and talking that is popular. So a conformist is someone who is afraid to be different, feels the need to be like everyone else. There is tremendous pressure to conform to the standards of the world, to the standards of a group. Even adults feel a need to conform, not just the young people, although it may be stronger for them, especially if they have a low esteem of themselves and they want to be accepted by another group or by a group. Advertisers often complicate the problem, trying to make and sell their products. As you look at the advertisements in inserts in newspapers and in catalogs and so forth, you can see what I'm talking about when I say that advertisers often complicate the problem. Look at these things and look how they have their items advertised. People, in some instances, now not all, but in some instances, it looks like they want to dress just as slouchy as they can. You know, it used to be that some people at least tried to dress up neat and be presentable. But you can go into stores today and see clerks or people that's working in there, and they have all kinds of clothes on or different kinds of clothes on. And you can see in these ads that I'm referring to some of the most ridiculous outfits and the hairstyles that some of them have look like they just tried to make it look as bad as they can, a rat's nest or something or another. And yet, regardless of how foolish it is, how ridiculous it is, or how modest it may be, when somebody starts something, then somebody else has got to follow. And the first thing you know, you've got a crowd that's going that way, dressing that way, looking that way, talking that way, slang words and so on and so forth. There is peer pressure, as it's called. When I was a boy growing up, I never heard of such thing as peer pressure. But today, peer pressure plays a very important part in people's lives. And it is forcing people to conform to things that they don't necessarily like themselves. There's danger in conformity. Did you know that? It can easily lead you to do things that you know are wrong. Let me repeat that. It can easily lead you to do things that you know is wrong. But because you want to be accepted with the crowd, because you want to fit in, you go along with them. That's why some people have ended up in prison. They were out there with a crowd and they would suggest they do this and they suggest they do that. I just recently read in a news item where someone, two or three people were together, and one of them said, "Let's get somebody and do something." And what they were talking about was to kill them. And there they were, and they've been arrested for murder. That's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. It may be a little extreme, but that's the kind of thing I'm talking about when I say there is danger in conformity. It leads you many times to do things that are wrong, and many times things that you know are wrong. At Christmas time, there's the parties, the drinking, and someone doesn't want to enter into it, but the rest of them are doing it, and they don't want to be a square or an oddball, and so they enter into it. It used to be, I don't know about today, but it used to be that some companies used to give bottles of whiskey as Christmas presents. And what that has to do with the supposed birth of Jesus Christ at that time, I don't know. But you see people conforming. You see people in this world that are brought in under pressure, and they conform to the world. And, you know, conformity will do something for you spiritually that will be detrimental and harmful to your soul. Conformity to this world separates you from God. 1 John chapter 2, John said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So I say again, conformity to this world separates you from God. And to be separated from God is to be separated from the source of life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So to be separated from God is to be separated from the source of life. And to love the world, conform to the world, you do not have the love of God in your heart. No, there's not room enough in your heart for the love of the world and the love of God both. For Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other? Are you going to hold to one and despise the other? You cannot serve God and mammon. So you cannot love the world and be a child of God. For loving the world separates you from God. The indecent way some women come to work in the offices today is indeed shameful and a disgrace. And I understand that in some offices, the manager is beginning to have dress codes for them to wear. And it seemed like in more recent years, most women, now not all, of course not, but a lot of women want to wear low neck dresses where people can see at least portions of their breast. That's a common thing today. And it is indecent, it's immodest, it does not conform to what God would have you to conform to. Now, the indecency is because people are conforming to the world. Others are doing it, and they feel pressure to do it themselves. My oldest daughter works in an office, and the manager there, it happens to be one of these that helps people, and he doesn't have the authority, but he would like to have the authority to have a dress code in his office because of some of the women that come in there in such an immodest way. And that's common in the world today. But the Bible teaches that we are to dress in modest apparel. And that's not just for women, although Paul and Peter both address their remarks to women. Men need to be dressing modest just as well as women. For I read in the scriptures where God took animal skin and he clothed Adam as well as he clothed Eve. And so men need to be dressing modest as well as women. And again, pressure, the worldly pressure, conforming to the world causes people to do these things, undergo a real change is the answer to the problem that I'm talking about. Dealing with pressure to conform, how do you deal with it? Well, undergo a real change that begins with conversion. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Now that was written, or at least dictated, by the Apostle Paul, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us. And this man, Paul, knew from personal experience what he was talking about when he said, if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature, all things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Because Paul was a religious man, a Pharisee, who did not know God and did not know the reality of the gospel of Christ. He persecuted and wasted the church of God. He testified against people, had them thrown in jail, and maybe even had them put to death. He was standing there when the people stoned Stephen and doubtless was encouraging them to do so. But on the road to Damascus, a great light shined down upon this man, and he fell to his knees, and he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who is it, Lord? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. In other words, God was dealing with him. God was convicting him. And there on the road to Damascus, this man changed. Lord, what would you have me to do? I say, if this is a man that wrote this scripture or had it written, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. He knew from personal experience what he was talking about. Instead of loving the world, love God. Love God with all your heart. You cannot love God with all your heart and love the world. No, you're going to choose one or the other. So one way to overcome the pressure of conforming is to love God with all of your heart. Avoid the appearance of evil. Stay away from places where you will be pressured to do wrong. Yes, stay away from them. You don't need to go to places where you know that you're going to be pressured and persuaded to try to do something that you know you shouldn't do. Avoid the appearance of evil. Stay away from it. Drop old friends if need be, that expect you to enter into their evil acts and their evil deeds. Stay away from them. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. That's what James tells us in 1:27. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Now, we have a choice to make. Yes, whether we're going to conform to the world or whether we will conform to the gospel of Christ. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Don't you imagine Moses was under pressure, having been turned over to the princess when he was weaned by his mother, and there he was educated in the schoolings of Egypt, living presumably in the palace there, under the influence of the worshiping of various gods. Don't you imagine he was under pressure? But our scripture tells us, Hebrews 11, 24, 25, and 26, tells us that when Moses became of age, where he was legally free, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures for a season. And you know, for some people, it's a mighty short season. How many young people pass out of this life? I read some years ago that in the world today, over half of the people that die in a year's time are under 17 or under. Over half. 17 are younger. So for some people, the pleasures of this world, the pleasures of sin, are a mighty short season. But Moses had enough understanding to know there was coming a judgment. And he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now Joshua, in his old age, gathered the children of Israel together, and he said to them, as recorded in Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15, "Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which were on the other side of the flood or river, are the gods in the land whom you now dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Beloved, every one of us must make a choice. Yes, every one of us must make a choice. And I've just read scriptures here about how Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, and how that Joshua challenged the children of Israel to put away their evil God, their idol gods, and serve the true and the living God. But he let them know, whether you do or whether you do not, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What a wonderful decision that was. And I'm sure that if Moses or Joshua could appear on this broadcast today, they would tell you, I do not regret the choice that I made. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will bless these scriptures and thoughts to this precious congregation today. And may good be accomplished, may hearts be moved by your Spirit and by your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you, and we do trust that our thoughts have proven to be a blessing to you, and that you will make the right choice for eternity. For to make the wrong choice is the way of destruction, but to choose the right way is the way of eternal life. Now, if our broadcast is a blessing to you, it would be an encouragement to us to know. And you may mail a letter or a card to us at this address: The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Or you may email us at truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net. Or you may send us a message on our webpage. Our webpage address is www.wayoftruth.org. www.wayoftruth.org. I would also remind you that you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine there on our webpage, or you can join us in our services. They are broadcast live, Sunday morning service 20 minutes before 11, and our evening service at 6, and also our midweek service at 7. It is now on the webpage as well, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for being a part of our congregation today. We invite you to tune in this station next week when, again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the blessings of heaven rest and abide upon each and every one of you, is our sincere prayer.